Chapter number 6, the story is told about Melvin Jones who turned 100 years old. And as he had turned 100 years old, they were celebrating this milestone. And a reporter came from the local newspaper to come and interview him and asked him several different questions. But the most important question they asked him is, Melvin, how did you survive to be 100 years old? Didn't you ever have anybody oppose you? And Melvin looked at him and says, I don't have a single enemy alive right now. I can't name a single enemy that is against me at this very moment. And the newspaper reporter looked at him and says, how is that possible? And he says, because they've all died. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have enemies. We're going to have those who oppose us. But how we deal with them makes a gigantic difference in what happens in those circumstances, in those situations. Here in Luke chapter number 6, we started this last week. Ignore and hate, or love and serve. Ignore and hate, or love and serve. Here in verse number 27, it says, but I say unto you, Jesus teaching the people, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them that you have whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, how am I supposed to love my enemies, those that hate me and those that use me and those who take advantage of me? How am I supposed to love them? How am I supposed to do those things? Because I don't like being abused. Now, let me restate this very fact that I said last week. If you are in an abusive situation, if you're being abused mentally, physically, emotionally, and it's a part in the situation where you can't get any peace and any strength, get out of it, get some help, don't suffer and languish there. If you're in a place, children, and you're being abused, now, I'm not talking about being made to follow rules. I'm talking about being physically, emotionally abused. Get some help. Wives, husbands, if you are in a bad spot and something's taking place behind the four walls and behind the doors that we don't even know about and you're being abused, tell somebody. Get some help. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying you become a punching bag. He's not saying, hey, let people hurt you. He is saying this. Treat your enemies with love because it makes an eternal difference. I want you to write this down in your Bibles here or on a piece of paper somewhere. I want you to write two main things this morning. Number one, we as children of God, we are to bring glory to God in all we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So remember that. Number one priority is to bring glory to God. And number two, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes your neighbor is your enemy. Sometimes your enemy opposes you and goes against what you're trying to do and goes against what your desires are. But Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You say, now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. How can I have the strength to do that? You don't know what they're doing to me. You don't know what they're saying about me. You don't know how they're opposing me. Well, the matter of fact is this. Guess what? At one time, you also were an enemy of God. You were God's enemy. Some of you in this room, you may still be God's enemy. And you say, oh, wait a minute. What do you mean that I'm God's enemy? If you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you are God's enemy this morning. So you're telling me, Brother Brian, that God hates me? No. God loves you in spite of being his enemy this morning. You don't have to be his enemy. You could become his child today by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are all at one time enemies with God, but God still loved us. But I want to show you four ways to show love to your enemy very quickly this morning. Number one, four ways to show love to your enemy. Terry, if you'll hit that next slide for me, please. How to love your enemies. Do good towards them. Bless them verbally. We talked about this last week. Pray for them. We talked about that last week also. Give to them. Give to them. So do good towards them. Bless them. Speak kind words to them verbally. Pray for them. And give to them. Four ways. All right, first slide, number one. First way to do it. Do good towards those that hate you for Christ's sake. Do good to them that hate you for Christ's sake. Go to Matthew chapter 5 real quick with me. Matthew chapter number 5. Do it for Christ's sake. Not for your sake, because you can't do it on your own. You've got to do it for Christ's sake. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 40. Jesus preached a similar sermon as he did Luke in the book of Matthew. It's a totally different sermon, but he preached around the same lines here. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 40. He says this, "And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," or 2 miles, "give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That's not what they said. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Do good to those who oppose you. He said, "Brother Brian, that's awful difficult. You're telling me that those who are against me, that I should do good to them, even though they take things away from me? And even though they make fun of me and they try to hurt me, I'm to love them? I can't do it." May I tell you, you can't. You cannot do it. I can't do it. But God can do it through me to them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brother Brian, I can't do it. Now remember, I started out this morning saying two things. Church, help me out. Who are we to bring glory to? You could say it, we're in church. Who are we to bring glory to? Every action, every word, every thought, every deed that we do on this earth as believers in Jesus Christ ought to bring glory to God. So tell me, how is hating our enemies bringing glory to God? But you say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I'm married to so-and-so, or so-and-so is my dad, or so-and-so is my sister or my brother. They're my cousin or whoever. They're my co-worker. And they claim to be a Christian, but they treat me like trash. They treat me like garbage, and they're always opposing me in everything I say and do. How in the world am I supposed to love them? They say they're saved, but they don't return the same thing unto me. So what do I do about that, Brother Brian?" You might as well go ahead and take a gun and shoot them. No. It doesn't matter how people treat you, because they'll answer to God one day. It matters on how you treat people, because you'll answer to God one day. "He hit me first, so I therefore hit him back." So you're telling me that it's okay for somebody to do wrong to you when you've done them wrong? Now look at me. Some of you got your heads bowed. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever done something wrong to somebody before? Some of you are liars. You didn't even lift your hand up this morning. You know what? How would you like other people to do to you what you've done to them? I wouldn't like that very much. See, when the shoe's on the other foot, it's a different story. Love God, bring Him glory, and treat others as you want to be treated. Where does that strength come from? You know where the strength comes from? When the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, Brother Brian, you're asking me to do something that I cannot do. No, you can't, but He can. When Jesus was on that cross and He was dying, the beard was missing, the thorns were gashed into His head, nails were in His hands and His feet. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't understand what they're doing." Brothers and sisters, you're not Christ, but you have Christ living in you. You can do all things with His strength. So number one, do good towards those that hate you. Number two, bless those who curse you. Look at James chapter 3 with me real quick. Bless those. Words can hurt or heal. What did your words do today? James chapter 3. Bless them. Don't curse them. James chapter 3. Now open your Bible. Turn with me if you would, please. Some of you are just looking at me like, no. I want you to follow what God's Word says. This is not me making it up. I didn't write these words. God wrote these words. And if this is God's message to us, it's something we ought to pay attention to. James chapter 3, verse number 1. He says, "My brethren, fellow believers, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and you are able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." As a horse has those bits in the mouths here, all you got to do is tug to one side, and you turn the horse's body. And most of the time, if you do that, the horse will go the direction you pull. All right? And then he says this, "Behold also ships, which though they are so great, so big, and they are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listeth." So in other words, as the ship is sailing, at the very bottom is a rudder. And the guy up on the deck is steering the rudder. Even those gigantic aircraft carriers, they got rudders. And as the rudder turns, so goes the ship. So he's saying, he's making the point. Hey, listen, you could turn a horse with a bit. You could turn a ship with a rudder. And then he says this. He says, verse number 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter of little fire is kindled. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." He says, listen, your tongue is a little bitty thing inside your mouth, but it can change the course of your life in a heartbeat. It can change the course of somebody else's life in a heartbeat. And you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, you're telling me that little muscle can change things in a heartbeat? Yes, because your tongue never says something that you don't want it to say. Now, wait a minute, brother, sometimes I lie. Well, that's a whole other message. But here's the issue. Once it comes out of your mouth, you can't put it back in. A tube of toothpaste, once you squeeze that toothpaste out of there, you'll never get it back in that tube. Watch what you say and how you say it. Well, that was stupid, Brother Brian. That was the worst thing you've ever said before. Brother Brian, you're getting bald. Oh, just joking. Ha, ha, ha. What you say makes a gigantic difference in people's lives. So in order to love your enemies, you speak kindly to them. Is there anybody in this room that likes being mocked? Is there anybody in this room that likes being cussed? When I was in basic training, I had my DI get in front of me while we were marching one day, and I got out of step. And as I got out of step, everybody else was starting with their left, and I was starting with my right. And I just couldn't get it right. And as I kept trying to shuffle and shuffle and shuffle, he got right in my face. He stopped the whole flight. He got in my face, and he called me everything but a white boy. Yelled and screamed at me. And I had to sit there and take it. I couldn't fight back. Brothers and sisters, you're going to have people treat you that way. Especially when you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see our society going on and on, guess what? It's going to get worse. You make a stand for Christ at school, you're going to be persecuted. You make a stand and say, you know what? That's not right. You're going to be persecuted. You make a stand for Christ at work, in your home, wherever. There's going to be people who are going to say you're a bigot. There's going to be people say who you are ungodly. There's going to be people say that you're judgmental and you're going to be made fun of and you're going to be ostracized. You know what you do? You simply tell them, God loves you. And you go on. Brother Scott was describing what happened in China and Bangladesh and all those things of the persecutions taking place right now. We don't know what persecution's like. But mark my words, it's coming. It is coming. And you're going to wake up one day and you're going to say, wow, I never thought that would happen in the church. It's coming, brothers and sisters. So how do we do it? You bless them. You don't cuss them back. All right, number three. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's will to be done. There's a song out. This fellow says, I went to church one day, and the preacher preached on loving and praying for one another. And he says, so I got on my knees, and I was praying for you. He's praying about his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend. And he says, I pray that their brakes go out going down the mountain. And he goes on to describe the things that he prayed for that were negative. Do not pray for negative for your enemies. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is not saying pray that they get hurt. You know what Jesus is saying? Pray that they get right. When I remember growing up in high school and I knew people were Christians, I used to make fun of them. Because I didn't understand. Praise God that I got saved and I got changed. You pray for them that God's will be done in their life. Because guess what? God's will is that everybody be saved. But not everybody will be saved. Now look at me for a second. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in this room that wants people to burn in hell for eternity? Anybody have somebody they hate so bad for that? I hope not. I wouldn't wish hell on anybody. Pray that that person who opposes you will get saved and get right with God. Pray for God's will to be done. Number four, give in deed, but not in word only. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 with me real quick. Give in deed and not word only. Proverbs chapter number 25. Look at this right here. Proverbs chapter 25. Verse number 21. Here's what he says. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21. He says, if your enemy is hungry, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Now I say, wait a minute, that's weird. Why in the world would I do that? Verse 22. So in doing that, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Back in the time that this was written, in the homes, they didn't have fireplaces and stoves like we have nowadays. And so what they had to do was they had to have a fire pit in their home, and in their fire pit, they would bank up the coals during the night so that in the morning they would get up and they would have fire to cook their meat or their bread or whatever they're going to cook for the breakfast. But sometimes what would happen is they didn't bank it up right, and they would wake up in the morning and there was no more coals and they had nothing to cook with. And so what they do is they would go next door to their neighbor and they would knock and they say, "Hey, listen, the coals have gone out of my house. I need something to start my fire with." And so the person who had coals would put them in a little container and they would put the coals on their head and they would walk to their house and they would take those coals out and they would start their own fire up so that they indeed would get a blessing too. And they say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian, what if an enemy came and did that? What if somebody, a neighbor, was treating them horribly and doing nasty things to them, and they came and asked, 'Hey, can I have some coals?'" The proverb says, you go ahead and give them coals, and they're going to take it on their head, and guess what they're going to be thinking about all the way home? What you did for them instead of what you didn't do for them. You shall heap coals on their head. When you do right to those who do you wrong and you don't respond as you've been treated, it makes a difference whether you realize it or not. Because when people do wrong to you, they expect you to do it right back to them. Ask a brother and sister. How many of you have children in your home? At least one, you have at least two that it seems like they're all they do is fight. "She took this from me. He looked at me weird." And it don't matter. It just boom. How many of you had children in your home that did that? How many of you did it? Wouldn't it be crazy in your home if one of your children did something wrong to the other one and the one that got wronged said, "It's okay, God loves you"? I would immediately go over and take a thermometer and check their fever. I'm being facetious, but the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, can you think of what this world would be like if we stopped doing wrong when we've done wrong? I think back to our recent State of the Union address. I'm not making a political statement. I'm just making a human statement. I'm so sick of two opposing parties fight and fuss and scream and do things. Regardless if it's the president, if it's Congress, if it's Senate, I'm so sick of it. If they would simply take this to heart, what a difference it would make in our country. How many of you agree with that? But wait a minute. If we would simply do this in our church, what a difference it would make. There's some of you in this morning that you won't talk to another person in this church because they did you something wrong 25 years ago. They come in one door, you go out the other door. Stop returning bad for bad. What a difference it would make in your home if this took place. Well, you left your underwear all over the bathroom, so guess what? I'm not going to cook you dinner tonight. Tit for tat never works. There's always going to be a loser. Jesus said, do good in deed and not word only. So what's the advantage? Brother Terry, what's the advantage? 10 things that happen when we obey Christ's command. 10 things that happen. Number one, God is honored. When you obey this, God will be honored. Number two, the Holy Spirit is able to use you. You want the Holy Spirit to use you? Not in this building necessarily, but out there, you start doing what Christ told you to do. You want to make a difference in the world? Just do what God's told us to do this morning. Number three, your enemy becomes puzzled. You want to really get them? Just do right. Makes a big difference. You'll get that look on their face. Number four, Satan is infuriated. Satan loves it when division takes place. He loves it when husband and wife aren't getting along. He loves it when kids and parents aren't getting along. He loves it when brothers and sisters aren't getting along. He loves it when grandparents and grandchildren aren't getting along. He loves it when co-workers aren't getting along. He loves it when Democrats and Republicans aren't getting along. He loves it when Baptists and Presbyterians aren't getting along. He loves division. You start doing what Christ tells you to do, Satan's infuriated. Number five, the critics are silenced. Those who oppose you can't talk about you. When you start loving them, what are they going to talk about? Well, I can't believe Brother Brian. You know what? He actually told me he loved me. Oh, I can't believe. You know what Melissa did to me? Man, I was doing horrible things to her and saying nasty things about her. You know what she told me to my face? She said she loved me and she was praying for me. You talk about disarming. Love them. And they got nothing to talk about. Number six. Fellow believers are encouraged. You start seeing a brother and sister doing right, you know what it does? It spreads like wildfire. Other people start doing right. Other people start saying, hey, that's a great idea. I want to do that. It encourages one another. Look at the next one. Others are drawn to Jesus. Why do we exist as a church? Why is Victory Baptist Church here? Oh, so we can hobnob and be nice to each other and walk out of here singing Kumbaya. No. You know why we exist? We exist to show people the Lord Jesus Christ. To lift each other up and to be a conscience in our community. That's why Victory Baptist Church is here. And if you exist to do that, others will be drawn to Jesus Christ. Next one. You yourself are blessed. You get a blessing from doing right. You can go to sleep at night, not worried about what you said or didn't say. If you treat people with love, you sleep a whole lot better at night. Look at the next one. Your anger begins to go away. It's amazing when you start praying for somebody, you stop being angry at them. When you do good things to people, you stop being angry to them. And finally, your reward in heaven is great. Now, Brother Brian, what you're asking me to do is impossible. Be honest this morning. How many of you can acknowledge that what I'm asking you to do is impossible? You're a bunch of liars. Because what I'm asking you to do is impossible. But what God is asking you to do and commanding you to do is possible through Him. If I ask you to do it, it ain't going to work. But if He asks you to do it, it will always work. Brothers and sisters, let's stop fighting. Let's love our enemies. Let's do good to our enemies. Let's pray for our enemies. Let's bless our enemies. If you'll just start, it will make a difference in somebody's life. That enemy may be in your home. That enemy may be at your job, at your school, at your workplace, at the store. Instead of returning fire for fire, why don't you give love today? Why don't you give love? Let's all stand together this morning. I can't do it, Brother Brian. It's impossible for me to do it. I don't know how to do it. So let me ask you a question. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you a question. How many can say, Brother Brian, I want to love my enemy, but I'm finding a very difficult time doing it. Would you pray for him? Would you lift your hand up this morning? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking, please. I see that honesty. Anybody else be honest in here this morning? I see that hand. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it. Anybody else? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Brother Brian, I'm having a difficulty right now with what you're telling me. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you to come down. I'm going to ask you to actually step out of your pews this morning and come down to the altar. I'm going to ask you to pray for your enemies. You can do it where you're standing, but there's something about coming forward that makes it more real to us at times. I'm not saying you have to, but I want to ask you to do that this morning. See, when you move, other people move too. There might be somebody in this room that says, hey, somebody else is going, I need to go too, because it encourages them. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Brother Dan is going to begin singing in just a moment. I'm just going to ask you to come, and I want you to pray for your enemy, because we all have them. Pray for them, and ask God to work in their lives this morning. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, you know our needs. I'm asking you, Father, to work as only you can. Please, in Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to come right now. Come on, just come and pray for your enemy this morning. Come on. Come on, step out. If you'll come, somebody else will come. Amen. Come on. Let go of the hate. Come out. Give up the hate. It's not worth it. Bitterness, and then bitterness becomes a cancer, and then that cancer kills. Won't you ask God this morning to help you stop hating? Ask Him to help you deal with the bitterness, because He can heal it if we'll willingly do it His way. One more verse this morning. One more verse, Brother Danny. Please be seated. Mr. Shows, keep playing. One more verse. Please be seated.